And we want to welcome you back to Yahoo Sports Radio. As things continue to heat up in the Big 12 Conference, a number of teams that we are keeping our eye on this weekend. One particular matchup that has a lot of appeal is Oklahoma-Notre Dame as the Sooners travel to South Bend for Saturday's nationally televised game. In fact, joining us from South Bend, Indiana, is KFOR Television and also one of the big names on the sports animal in Oklahoma City, always a key contributor on the Big E Sports Show. That is Bob Berry Jr. We're so glad you're along with us on YSR. Thanks, Bobby.
Hi, E. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to get right to it because the Sooners are 3-0 right now. They're coming into Saturday's game rested and ready after a week off. Notre Dame, on the other hand, enters into the clash after a four-point win over Michigan State. And I think one of the things about this is that's so appealing. It's a wonderful matchup, one of college football's most powerful and popular brands. And this is truly what it's all about. And to be completely honest, I'm a little bit jealous that I'm not there with you.
Well, Oklahoma has not fared so well against Notre Dame over the years, Alyssa. As much as it is the matchup of mighty brands with Oklahoma and Notre Dame, a combined 15 national championships and a combined 12 Heisman Trophy winners since 1940, Oklahoma's just 1-9 all-time against Notre Dame. The only win was in 1956 when the Sooners beat Paul Hornung and won the Heisman that year, and Notre Dame 40-0 in South Bend. How about that? A guy won a Heisman Trophy on a 2-8 football team. I don't think he'll ever see that again. But anyway, that's it. And that includes last year when Oklahoma played Notre Dame in Norman. That was a 10-6 game going into the fourth quarter. It was a 13-13 tie at one point, and then the Irish made all the plays down the stretch behind both of the guys wearing jersey number 5, Everett Golson, a quarterback who's no longer there, and Manti Te'o at linebacker who's no longer there. So that is why I think Oklahoma has a good chance to end the streak and get win number 2 all time because those two number 5s who are not there for different sorts of reasons.
It certainly is not the same team, but I'm just curious, when you look at the series you're talking about, Oklahoma's just 1-9 against the Fighting Irish. Why throughout the years have they struggled so mightily? It's all those Hail Marys going up, right?
That's touchdown Jesus. There's a reason that we know who he roots for, right?
So,
It's odd how that's happened. Notre Dame beat Oklahoma to start the 1953 season, Big E, and then OU tied Pittsburgh the next week 7-7, and then they won their next 47 football games. Before, Notre Dame came to Norman and beat them 7-0 in the 1957 season. So there's something about the Irish since this series started in 1952 where they've just played spoiler. Obviously, they've had some great football teams over the years. They have all that tradition on their side, but Oklahoma has just not been able to figure them out. Now, I'm going to start dating myself a little bit and telling you how old I am. I was at a game in Norman in 1966 when I was all of 8 years old, and I had grown up watching Lindsey Nelson and Notre Dame football every Sunday morning on our television station in Oklahoma City. They carried that of all shows, and I became enamored with the Fighting Irish because of that show where they would show, you know, highlights of Notre Dame's game the day before. So I couldn't believe that I was actually seeing mighty Notre Dame and Norman playing Oklahoma in 1966. And the Sooners were coached by a guy back then named Jim McKenzie, who he's actually the pioneer of the Sooners' most recent success. He came in, he brought a guy named Barry Switzer on his staff from Arkansas. Jim had been an assistant at Arkansas. He brought in other guys like Chuck Fairbanks and people like this. And Jim McKenzie sadly died after that one and only season of a heart attack at the age of 37. And that's when Chuck Fairbanks became coach and then later Coach Switzer and on and on. And you know the success there. But that particular day, Oklahoma was 4-0, ranked 10th in the country. They had come off a 3-7 season and the firing of a head coach, which OU never did. And they were all excited about it. And Notre Dame just destroyed OU that day, 38-0 in Norman. That was the year the Irish went on to win the national championship, even though they tied Michigan State 10-10 in that epic battle. But that was my first introduction to seeing Notre Dame up close and personal. And remember, Alyssa, this was almost 50 years ago, and I remember Notre Dame guys coming down the ramp in Norman that were 6'4", 6'5", 250, 275 pounds. That was like, you know, 400-pounders in today's era. So it was I just remember being totally in awe of everything about them. And that's how a lot of people viewed Notre Dame over the years, including Oklahoma on occasion.
Reliving some memories. Oklahoma, Notre Dame. Nice job on that historical narrative. So get us up to speed, Bob Berry Jr. with KO4 Television in Oklahoma City. How different is Brian Kelly's team this year? You were talking about some of the changes and some of the personnel that's come and gone.
Well, I don't think they're anywhere near as explosive as they were a year ago. Sierra Wood and some of these guys in the backfield that hurt Oklahoma aren't there. As we said, Everett Golson's sitting out a season-long suspension, and so the offense isn't nearly as explosive. I haven't been that impressed with Tommy Reese. He was just 14 of 34 for less than 150 yards in the close game against Michigan State last week. You know what happened at Michigan? They barely beat Purdue.
Notre Right.
Dame had to fight to beat their in-state rivals from West Lafayette. So, but yet, this is a Notre Dame team that has played Michigan, Michigan State, you know, and Purdue. Oklahoma's played Louisiana Monroe, a pitiful West Virginia team, and Tulsa, which is really struggling. So that's going to be the big question mark is, how has Oklahoma's competition set them up to be able to handle a road game like this against a Notre Dame team that has played some solid squads? Not great, perhaps, but a lot better competition than anything Oklahoma's faced.
Yes, because when you look at Oklahoma's schedule, ULM, West Virginia, Tulsa, the schedule, not that daunting, but this is a game that certainly has a lot is at stake. Talk about the importance of this game from a national standpoint, because they really want to give Oklahoma does, wants to give themselves a boost nationally, especially how they ended the season last year.
Right. Well, let's be honest. People are laughing at the Big 12 right now. I mean, Texas is struggling. They just got embarrassed by Brigham Young and Ole Miss. You know, finally beat Kansas State last week. Kansas State starts off the season as co-conference champions a year ago. They lose at home to North Dakota State to start the season. So this is a huge game for the Big 12 conference. I mean, maybe as big a game all year as there is for the Big 12. If Oklahoma, unbeaten and ranked 11th or 12th or whatever they are, goes to South Bend and loses to what many consider to be an average Notre Dame team, the Big 12 will have zero credibility in my mind. I mean, you know, because Oklahoma is one of the favorites to win the league. So I think it's way bigger for the conference than it is for the team. However, Bob Stoops and his guys had that reputation early on in their tenure as being big game guys, come from behind, go win the ones you're not supposed to. And they've lost that in the last several years. That's why Coach Stoops fired three assistant coaches off a 10-3 team last year after Johnny Heisman and Texas A&M embarrassed OU in the Cotton Bowl. So they need to win a nationally televised, big-time exposure game, whether it's against average Notre Dame or national title contender Notre Dame. They need to win to get some of that reputation back. But, boy, is it really needed for the Big 12 conference's sake.
Bob Berry Jr. with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am the Big E, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And, Bobby, for Sooner fans, they certainly have and claim a very long memory. Of course, that disappointing loss in Norman, the Fighting Irish really thrashed them 30-13. They certainly want to go into South Bend. They want to take care of business. And I would assume they're going to be able to do that because there's been significant improvements on the defensive side of the ball with Mike Stoops, right?
But if nothing else, a different strategy. Last year, Oklahoma waited and reacted. This year, they're being much more aggressive and attacking ball carriers and receivers and quarterbacks. So that's been a noticeable improvement. They've had better play on the defensive line. Their linebackers have been all over the place, and they have a solid secondary. So they're much better defensively in terms of performers and scheme, what they set their minds to do. Now, again, will Notre Dame allow that to happen? Will OU be able to pressure Tommy Reese and force the mistakes? That could be a huge key on Saturday. Then you go to the offensive side of the ball, and Blake Bell's making only his second career start at quarterback. He was expected to begin the season for Oklahoma. Then he got surprisingly beat out in a three-man battle for the starting job in training camp by a guy named Trevor Knight. Trevor Knight was highly ineffective in the first two games, and then he suffered a knee injury, so that knocked him out. Bell came in. All he did was break Heisman Trophy winner Sam Bradford's record for the most passing yards ever in a first career start with 413 and four touchdowns in that win against Tulsa. Blake Bell also, I don't think you can say it enough, he's a Catholic kid born and raised in Kansas. So, I mean,
really? You know, okay.
I mean, if you're a Catholic kid and you get a chance to play Notre Dame, I mean, that's the ultimate. And so he's been talking about that all week, how he's dreamed of playing against Notre Dame. Another guy Oklahoma has, perhaps their best player across the offensive line, Gabe Eichert, is an All-America at center. Gabe Eichert grew up as a Catholic kid, attended Catholic schools his whole life, Catholic high school in Oklahoma City, and it came down to Oklahoma and Notre Dame. In fact, he committed to Notre Dame first, before choosing the Sooners and staying in his own backyard, he is extra excited about this game. So that's the center and the quarterback right there for Oklahoma. Two Catholic kids that can't wait to play Notre Dame. This will be a very emotional game for a lot of reasons.
Well, it is an emotional game, a game with a lot of meaning. So it's going to be important to keep Blake Bell not so jacked up.
And he's been pretty good about being poised. And I think that has to do with the Belldozer. You're familiar with that nickname, the package they've run with him the last two or three years. And he played and scored against Notre Dame a year ago. In fact, at the time Bell scored against Notre Dame a season ago, that was the first rushing touchdown that the Irish had allowed all year. And that game was played in late October last year in Norman. So Blake Bell's been in big games. That's what's going to help him, I think, calm his nerves a little bit when he goes out before 85,000 Notre Dame Stadium. But if he is to turn his ankle or something happens there, I really think Oklahoma will turn to their third quarterback as the backup in that game, a guy named Kendall Thompson, whose daddy, Charles Thompson, was Oklahoma's starter and star back in the Wishbone days before he got in trouble. But Kendall Thompson, sources tell me, was working so well in training camp that he might have been the starter at the beginning of the year, a left-handed dual-threat kid that broke a bone in his foot the very first day of practice, and that dropped him to third team in that quarterback battle. So I think if Bell goes down, Kendall Thompson will see his first action of the year, and it'll be kind of interesting to see what he can do. But Oklahoma's much better equipped to play against Notre Dame's defense with much better running backs than they had a season ago, more threats at that position, a pretty good wide receiver core, and a quarterback that can move around. Landry Jones couldn't, let's be honest. He wasn't very mobile, had a rocket arm and was great passing the football. But Blake Bell at 6'6", 260 pounds, can run it and throw it. We saw that against Tulsa. So this should be a much more opportunistic offense against Notre Dame.
Well, and when you start reviewing the game tape on Notre Dame, their weakness has been their ability to contain and defend mobile quarterbacks. I mean, they've struggled against that.
They have, and I don't think much of the Irish secondary at this point. But I do think a lot of Lewis Nix, that block of granite up front at defensive tackle, wears number one and weighs 360 pounds, and their defensive ends are all world. So if they can pressure Blake Bell and make him uncomfortable, that could create problems for OU. But then the Sooners now have these running backs. Damian Williams back from a game off after suspension. Keith Ford, this true freshman running back that Coach Stoops called a wrecking ball the other day, a really appropriate nickname. This guy has just been running all over people, splattering people as a true freshman. Then they have Roy Finch, who's been in the doghouse most of his OU career, but he is by far the most elusive OU player they have, the fastest guy on the team. He's broken 40, 50-yard runs in each of the three games so far. He can make people miss. And then they even have a couple of guys behind those three. So Trey Miller, this fullback that never gets enough carries, is very effective inside and short yardage. So they've got way more running backs than they have that are all potential playmakers. And their wide receivers started to emerge last week only because Blake Bell got him the football. Trevor Knight couldn't pass it the first two games, couldn't get it to any receivers. They were getting frustrated. Blake Bell found him for over 400 yards, and now they're all happy catching the football.
Well, and Bobby, let me jump in here. That's going to be so key for Oklahoma. They've got to do a much better job rushing the ball. I don't know what their total yardage was from last year, but obviously they...
15 yards, Alyssa.
Wow, okay.
15 yards in 24 carries. You're very right on with that. That ain't going to get it. So Oklahoma's going to have – but they don't have to rush for 300 either. If it's a balanced deal where you get 100, 150 yards, I'd say 150 would be a good benchmark. You rush for 150 on Notre Dame's defense, that'll keep them honest enough where Blake Bell and those receivers should be able to pass.
We will continue with our Oklahoma-Notre Dame breakdown with Bob Berry Jr., but we're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back at Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show.